Happy Monday, Philadelphia, New Jersey, and Delaware. Welcome to the Hour of Power here on WWDB 860 AM. We are so happy that we are together again on this great Monday afternoon. How's everybody out there?
We're doing good, Pastor Steve. It's another Monday. We are in the studio on the 555 building on City Island Avenue. A little overcast. I think Jose's finally making it up the northern coast, and I'm glad it's on out on the water, and the Jersey Shore might get a little bit of wind, but I got a big event on Sunday. I don't need no rains. I'm praying to God starting tonight so that at least get some sunshine. So whatever happens on Monday, I don't matter, but we got some barbecue going. I'm not going to say no more because I can't feed everybody, but we do got something big going on Unity Day.
Yo, you got something big going on.
Yes,
something
man. Big, man. I love the word big, Doug. You're going to do something. You got to do it big.
You sound like Donald Trump.
No, don't put that on my life. Don't, because you're a prophet. Don't speak that on my life. Please, not today, not tomorrow, not no day. But we got a big guy in the studio with us today that he's going to attempt to probably tolerate us for an hour as a co-host. I think it's the first time we took the risk to do this. I don't know whether or not we're going to get sent out of town, but we do got the Honorable Kenyatta Johnson on the mic this evening.
Welcome, Councilman.
Welcome. Co-host with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we've got a good show today.
Uh-huh.
We want to deal with education, mm-hmm. and that's why it's one of the reasons the councilman is going to sit in on this segment that we're moving up, and mm-hmm. we want to talk about Veronica joining school. We had her on here last week, and the statistics on what they're doing just blew our minds.
Yeah.
How they're handling those kids, and we're going to talk about that, and the councilman is going to help us do that. And then as we move into the 6:30 hour, we're going to interview him and really talk about, he's one of the shining stars in our city today, and he's adding something to our city and to our politics. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to be a politician and just be a politician. It's
right.
another thing to be a politician, hold public office, and add something to the equation.
Right, right.
And I say that from my heart. I've known the councilman right. a long time. My church was located down in his district, and we are just so happy that he's here with us on today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the I have had a chance to personally to observe Councilman Johnson. He's much older than I am, but I go way when he was working on the staff of at the time. Was he state senator at the time? Was he state rep?
State senator
Anthony Williams and
then, history right, dude.
Yeah, I'm just making sure, because I know he's an old guy, you know, so he's been around a long time.
Just a little bit.
So he got that Beijing in his head. That's why they don't have no gray showing, you know. And then, you know, children, you know, you add some babies, you know, he has two wonderful children. He's married to a wonderful wife that is working along with him, Dawn Chabot, and you know, and so, you know, we are glad to see that, you know, faith and politics works if there's cooperation.
Yes.
And I think that in these days we are living today and how we're operating, we have to do more of that. There are things the church can do that's within our context. There are things that politics can do within that context. When the synergy comes together, that we both work together, then it makes a better Philadelphia. It makes a better Commonwealth, and it makes a better country. And I think that's where, and you being on the young side, that gives hope. That gives hope, you know, for all of us.
And one of the things that we've noticed, we've had Congressman Evans on, we've had State Senator Hardy Williams on, we've had State Representative
Senator Shreve,
and
Jordan Harris
on, and all of them have agreed with us that there has grown in this city, probably in the country, this schism, if mm-hmm. you would, between the African-American church leadership, pastors, mm-hmm. And our representatives, mm-hmm. whether in the Congress, in the State House, upper or lower chamber, in local council politics, mm-hmm. or local politics, if you would. We don't know how that happened. We don't know where that came from, but we do know that it exists.
Yeah.
And something really does have to happen. And we've talked, in fact, Senator Williams talked very specifically about the fact that we all need to sit down and do something. We haven't, the Hour of Power have not made that happen.
Yeah, but we're going to work on that.
But something really must happen in order for that to come back together.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, church has always been foundation in the African-American community, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. goes hand in hand with community activism, social justice, which most importantly involved into politics. And I grew up in the area of Bishop Gaines.
Right, right.
My pastor loved it, mm-hmm. Black.
Right.
With these guys walking down the street talking about up with hope, down
right,
with dope.
Right, right.
Challenging us young guys to get off the corner, doing a citywide basketball league where the
right.
churches sponsored the league, mm-hmm. where the young
That's
guys
right.
came
right,
off the corner.
Right, right.
And went into the church,
uh-huh.
and had a chance to hear the word, but also
right.
had a chance to play ball.
Right.
That was the foundation, the bedrock of the city of Philadelphia that I grew up in as a young man. And we also understand the power that the faith-based community has
yeah.
in addressing uh-huh. the social justice issues that involve in politics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've had a chance to work closely with Pastor Abinger and some other faith-based
mm-hmm.
leaders
mm-hmm.
around a coalition that I have that specifically focuses on youth gun violence.
Right,
I have
right,
several
right.
Several different
yeah.
leaders
mm-hmm.
that we meet from time to time
mm-hmm.
to try to figure out how do we strategize, how do we work together to address the issue of youth gun violence, because at the end of the day, I clearly recognize the role,
uh-huh.
again, that the faith-based community
yeah.
plays in our neighborhoods.
Right, right. Well, we had a couple of weeks ago, we did a 2-week segment in response to the Charlottesville, Virginia issue,
mm-hmm. Yes.
And as well as it piggybacks on police brutality,
yes.
the violence of young black males being shot down
yes.
by, and we don't have nothing against our police officers. They do a tremendous job.
Yes.
We just have a few bad apples. But it's an issue that we have to bring to the forefront, as well as it has issues centered around guns. And so
yes.
we had
Correct.
Three former presidents of the black clergy who were the pioneers that were, in the sense of talking about faith and politics working together, we had them to come in the studio and we talked through how we have to get back to that model where we work together. And so Our Power, Pastor Steve and myself, we're working with them
cool.
to, and we want to put this out to you, because as we pull together to pull our clergy friends, because you mentioned Lovett and Danny Black, they're our friends.
Well,
they are
yes,
friends. And so we want to as we work on our end, We've shared it now with you, but with State Senator Anthony Williams, with Congressman Dwight Evans, with State Rep Jordan Harris, and with State Senator Sharif Street, they all have agreed. And I think this is a moment for us to really begin to coalesce around the issues that we can agree on, and begin to mobilize in our community. And I think the sometimes adversity opens up a window for us to have reflection and then retrospection, and then we go back and say, let's make it happen.
Well,
and Charlottesville was enough
yes,
for us
correct.
To say, okay, let us roll up our sleeves now. It's time
yes.
for us now to take Philadelphia back, because, you know, enough of this going in different directions.
Yeah, and it's I think we are asleep. If you would, the voice of our community is not as loud and as boastful as it ought to be. Some segments are. You got Black Lives Matter and
mm-hmm.
what have you. So some sectors are. But I think collectively our voices are not as loud and as boisterous and as powerful as it used to be. And that has caused, I think, a lull in the level of respect that we receive from, quote, the powers that be, end quote, And the only way that we're going to begin to affect the kind of change I think that we need is to go back to that relationship between our African-American elected officials and black church leadership. And I believe, I really believe that. And I am, I'm certainly disappointed because I was certainly in the middle of most of what was happening in terms of social action in our communities. Mm-hmm. And so.
And you opened up your doors to me when we organized some meetings around the issue of youth gun violence. We had a meeting up at your new church.
Yeah.
To try to organize and mobilize people to step up on this particular issue, because I mean every day we all wake up to 6 o'clock news and we see some young person murdered for a reason that's usually ridiculous.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so it's a passion of mine, as well as addressing the social justice issues regarding law enforcement officials and the shooting down of African-American young men. But I need that same level of urgency on a day-to-day basis when we have to go console a mom and the funerals that both of you
do. That's right, right, right.
The mom have to bury her kid, which is abnormal.
Right,
and we see it so much where I think in some cases it become a normal reaction.
We're
anesthetized
to it.
Yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, somebody died. Okay, well, you know, what's the next show we watching on television? I'm kind of sitting back like, no, that's not normal.
Right, right.
It's not.
Right,
and it is, I think we're in a climate where people are so accustomed to bad news and violence and what have you on the streets that they don't even pay attention to it unless it hits their own home.
Yeah,
and then it's, you know, where is the councilman? Where is the church?
Yeah,
where is
correct.
This one? Where is that one? When before, when it was somebody down the street, they were inside the house watching Scandal.
Yeah. Right, right.
When the scandal is right in the neighborhood.
Yeah, right? Yeah, right. People love Scandal.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yes, sir.
And so how, I don't know how we got into this discussion, but how, so.
The law is working, man.
What do
working.
You think? Councilman, that we can do in order to bring this synergy back together?
Yeah, I think it just starts by the path that you're already on. Like the individuals have already come in and said they willing to sit down and have a dialogue and a conversation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to begin looking at the individuals who are the faith leaders,
about it, within
your perspective profession, and those elected officials that are about it in terms of really just not being there for the sake of cameras or accolades,
but
people who actually do work.
Yeah.
And I think once you take a small few to begin working together and say, look, come up with a strategy. Let's begin looking at a new agenda.
Right.
Right. To hold those in power that's accountable.
Yeah.
Then making sure they're addressing the issues that primarily affect our community on a day-to-day basis. You don't see that.
No.
And one of the things I think also with that is we've got to stop fighting among ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? That's the big one.
You've got pastors, and I'm going to say it, right, fighting against each other.
Yes.
That's not happening.
Who's the leader, right? We've got black politicians saying, well, who's the leader? Yeah. Who's going to lead the meeting? Yeah. Who's going to
sit in the chair?
And all that does is hold us back. All that does is continue to leave wedges in doorways that we used to be able to walk right through. And that's something that all of us have to look at. There's been division and conflict because there's a void,
right?
And then there's a generational piece, right? It's got, you know,
the older folk
have got to be able to say. Listen, you know, this young group, this young dynamic group is coming up, and we've got to make room for them at the table,
right?
Because they can't push us away from the table, and we can't push them away from the table. We all have to come together and bring this power together that we have brains and bronze, and you know the Bible says they call the old because they know the way, and the young because they're strong.
That's
so
right.
We've got
yeah.
to
you just
we've
give them
got
the wisdom
to do that.
And say this right, is how you want
right,
to
that's right,
it.
Right.
This
is,
energy.
That's right. This is Hour of Power, WWDB 860 AM. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back with our special guest co-host, Councilman Kenyatta Johnson, and my co-host, Pastor Reg.
Yeah, he demoted me, but that's all right. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You are a Pennsylvania worker. One day, you get injured on the job. Suddenly, your employer and their insurance company turn their backs on you. You deserve better. Call Martin Law to arrange a free in-person consultation. We'll meet with you to make sure you get the workers' compensation benefits you deserve. Call 215-587-8400 or visit paworkinjury.com. Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers.
Hi, this is Malik Boyd, the host of the Heart of the City radio show. Have you been injured at work? Work injuries create a great deal of stress and financial hardship for the entire family. Uniting the City, Easy Scripts is a national home delivery pharmacy service helping injured workers with all of their medication and medical equipment needs. They remove the problems injured workers have filling their prescriptions. And with their free home delivery and no out-of-pocket expenses for medications, Uniting the City Easy Scripts makes it easier for injured workers to focus on getting better and taking care of their families. Enrollment is quick and easy. Call a Uniting the City Easy Scripts customer care specialist today and let them take this burden off your shoulders. The call is free, 855-729-3939. That's 855-729-3939. Paid for by Easy Scripts Pharmacy.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff. But still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Champion of working people? Come on. Come on, man.
Welcome back to the Hour of Power. This is Pastor Reg, along with my co-host, Pastor Steve, and we have a guest co-host in the house, the Honorable Councilman Kenyatta Johnson. Welcome back, WWDB 860 AM. We want to shift our conversation and spend a few minutes talking about the plight of our educational system, charter and public, and what are some of the diagnoses based on wonderful interview we had with Veronica Joyner, who is the founder of a successful charter school on Broad Street, right across from the school district headquarters. School's been open for over 17 years, grade 1 to 12, and she has 100% graduation rate, and she's operating with the same per pupil allotment for her students. She has 1,000 plus students there, and over 90% of her graduates are going on to college and graduating, and she's doing a wonderful job, and she really put it on the line to say that there is success in our city as it comes to education. And so we want to open that discussion and talk about, you know, what are those challenges, and Councilman Johnson, now, you have the policy
before
piece.
You do that, mm-hmm. I want to add something because I think this is critical.
Mm-hmm.
There is a 89% graduation rate
mm-hmm.
of African American males.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that in and of itself
yeah, right,
is powerful. that you would have take an African-American male out of the normal public school environment, put them in, listen to me now, science, mathematics, and civics. Mm-hmm. And you have almost a 90% graduation rate mm-hmm. African-American males mm-hmm. at every age level, right, where they would fail mm-hmm. ninth grade, seventh grade, 11th grade. That's when they disappear.
That's that time.
Right. They go through the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Graduate and are becoming lawyers, doctors, teachers, and what have you. And I was blown away by the fact that what is different between this charter school that would graduate that level of African American males, right, from science, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Science and mathematics.
Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. That blew my mind, Councilman.
Well, I think it's a testament to the leadership of Veronica Joyner.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Joyner's been out there for a significant amount of years as a pioneer on the issue of education, as a leader within her own right before opened up her own school.
Right.
She walked the street.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
And pretty much took a shoestring budget with her new building, but most importantly, created a culture of achievement.
That's right.
A culture of success. I try to tell folks that individuals who often advocate and say, well, we need, a significant amount of funding to do the things that need to be done in the area of education. And I would get pushback when I talk about how, if you look at the culture of African-American people, we built some of the best and brightest minds without an iPad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The best and brightest minds without computers.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases down south, the best and brightest minds without books.
That's right.
But we had committed educators.
Mm-hmm. That's the word.
That believed in the power of every young person that walked into their school classroom.
Right.
And I think that makes all the difference when it comes to investing in our young people. And when you talk about reproducing what she's doing on a macro level, then that means if you talk about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 schools, then they all have to have the same level of buy-in for a culture of achievement across the board. But most important, everybody have to have that same level of passion and commitment, because the classic example is they built the school for the future in West Philly.
Right.
Great school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kids got laptops, but look at the numbers.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the new building with the resources.
That's right. Right.
But Veronica's a special person, though. Veronica's a special person in terms of her passion, her belief. And I visited the school before. I had a chance to go take a tour of her school. It's nowhere near my district, but because of the person that she is, I'll come check out the school. But you have to have that level of commitment from the individual in order to really reproduce on a wider scale.
Right. And so I'm not running for office or anything like that. So I can say this. I think the school district and the unions that represent teachers in the school district, the PFT, have got to get together.
Yes,
because there is absolutely no reason why you cannot take this model. Best practices, right? We always talk about best practice, best practice. And here it is, located in the city of Philadelphia, where you have a charter school
that is
working on shoestring budget. Won the city championship in basketball with these brainiacs, right? With no gym, and most people don't even know the school exists. She owns an entire city block.
Yes, she does.
Right.
An entire city block. Does. And no one is talking about this because I think that they want it secret.
Yeah,
and how can a woman, a female, African American female, put together a staff with the kind of budget that she has and graduate 100% of her students?
Yeah,
strong.
Yeah, that's
powerful. I'm blown away by that.
Yeah,
and so.
That's right.
You know, and then, you know, negativity, something about negativity. Negativity always draws attention. You never get a chance to see that shining star, because that shining star is surrounded by all of the other stuff that's not happening.
That's right.
And I think that, you know, we have to push back. And if she's hidden by a tree branch, or if she's hidden by a shadow of another org or another another objective, if she's hidden by some hidden agenda, then it is our responsibility to make sure that that light comes out so that everybody can see. And one thing I like about Veronica, she's humble.
Yes.
She never talks about what I'm doing.
That's right.
Her conversation is always around the children. If I have to sweep the floor, if I have to mop the floor, if I even have to give from my own self, if it's to benefit the children, I'm down for it. I said to her, and I know this is controversial, Mr. Councilman, but I said, well, are you going to run for the run the school district? And she said, well, I'll be available. I said, no, that will get you in trouble.
Hey, when you talk about passion and commitment,
yes, sir.
That's what it takes to change.
That's right.
You have to change the culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Of an environment.
Mm-hmm.
Young people have to come and walk through the door, and from day one, feel the love. Right. Because mm-hmm. remember, some of our children coming from not eating breakfast.
Right.
Mom on crack, never met daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when I come to the school, I might be looking for, besides the education, a certain type of love.
Right. Right.
To help me get to the next level. That's indicative of pretty much mostly most of the school environments
mm-hmm.
here in the city of Philadelphia. And so it takes a certain level of approach.
And let me add this. And you were, let me congratulate you. You were a made man also
yes.
with us yeah. a couple yes. of weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah, y'all were one of the million maidens.
And but one of the things we did that morning prior to the event that evening at the Comcast Center was a few of us visited Overbrook High School.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we talked to about 60 African-American males, many of which, and I'm sorry to say this, had bad attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying this for a reason. If you address them as if, you know, you were trying to get something out of them, and we were there merely to encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
I walked into the school on... I'm talking mathematics and science
right.
and civics.
Mm-hmm.
Last Friday, my son called me and said, Dad, can you pick up
mm-hmm.
Your granddaughter because her mom has a problem with the car? And I just happened to be in a meeting right down the street.
Right.
And I walked into the school. It was quiet.
Mm.
I walked into the cafeteria. There were kids sitting around the table. And I could have dropped a quarter and heard it mm-hmm. drop.
Yes.
The discipline, the level of discipline and respect.
Respect, mm-hmm.
yeah.
That I felt in that school blew my mind. And the difference between what I saw at Overbrook I saw here is an indication.
Same city, uh-huh.
Right? Because yeah. if the school is disruptive, right, and you've got – you've got attitudes all over the place and what have you. That's not a real good learning environment.
And so I
think we've got to really deal with, you know, not only the curriculum, but we also have to deal with discipline.
Well,
right. And parents can't be parents can't have the attitude that, but that's not my mm-hmm. child.
Yeah.
Well, no, my child didn't. Yeah, your child did it. Yeah, they did.
That's correct.
You know, and sometimes, you know, in the sense of we people have a tendency of always pointing out the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have enough of that. You know, we know there's a problem. We know it's the system is broken. We know there are issues. But let's spend our energy about solutions, because people need help. And sometimes folk, because of either being stubborn or because of pride, they won't ask for it. But when you show me one opportunity of success, that's hope. This is the same city, the same pool of kids because there's a public option. This is not if charter schools are not a school that is only selecting anybody. Anybody can go to that school based upon availability. Yeah. It's a public option.
Public school.
And these kids are in the same pool, and you cannot tell me that the system cannot be fixed if we got a school operating on a shoestring budget to produce these kind of numbers.
That's right.
Look, this is the Hour of Power, WWDB, 860 AM. You can reach us if you want to talk to the councilman or either of us at 888-329-3306. 888-329-3306. This is a hot conversation. You need to join in.
Yeah, and Councilman, we've been talking. You know, we need to hear from you because literally, Mr. Councilman, I think that that this is something because you're being one of the younger councilmen in the chamber right now. I think you might be the youngest, if I'm not mistaken. And so having children, you have a greater investment because, you know, many of us of those who are older. That are older than us, the investment, you know, the actual pass over to our future, you know, and that's the most heartening piece that the children that are coming up, what are we going to leave for them?
Well, that's correct. At the end of the day, and I think I've been thinking about our education system, so it's ironic that we're having this conversation today. I was just thinking the other day, we probably need to, and it's controversial in itself, blow the system up and start all over.
I was getting ready to say that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because you have to look at the direction that we're going into right now. And each year, there's a budget request in front of city council. We're raising taxes. Come back, we're raising business taxes. But we're not moving the needle as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know, right, as being individuals who went to school, received higher education degrees, you only get really one shot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with the babies.
Right.
And so if we don't find an aggressive way, like a real radical way to address it, we'll be here in the next 10 years talking about the same
thing.
So maybe part of that conversation is saying, let's step back and look at the successful models,
mm-hmm.
and then challenge the powers that be, the decision makers. Why aren't you doing these same types of practices in these current schools that you have that are supposed to be problem schools?
Mm-hmm. And then you walk into a strawberry mansion that seats 1,500 students, and you got 300 students walking around a building.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That is a problem that's got to be fixed. This is WWDB 860 AM. We're going to go to commercial break.
Hi, this is Malik Boyd, the host of the Heart of the City radio show. Have you been injured at work? Work injuries create a great deal of stress and financial hardship for the entire family. Uniting the City, Easy Scripts is a national home delivery pharmacy service helping injured workers with all of their medication and medical equipment needs. They remove the problems injured workers have filling their prescriptions. And with their free home delivery and no out-of-pocket expenses for medications, Uniting the City Easy Scripts makes it easier for injured workers to focus on getting better and taking care of their families. Enrollment is quick and easy. Call a Uniting the City Easy Scripts customer care specialist today and let them take this burden off your shoulders. The call is free. 855-729-3939. That's 855-729-3939.
Paid for by Easy Scripts Pharmacy.
You are a Pennsylvania worker. One day, you get injured on the job. Suddenly, your employer and their insurance company turn their backs on you. You deserve better. Call Martin Law to arrange a free in-person consultation. We'll meet with you to make sure you get the workers' compensation benefits you deserve. Call 215-587-8400 or visit paworkinjury.com. Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. practice your downward facing dog as a team practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
Welcome back to the Hour of Power. This is Pastor Reg, along with my co-host, Pastor Steve. You listen to the WWDBA 60 AM. We have our co-host and guest with us, the Honorable Congressman, Councilman, Kenyatta Johnson.
Not yet.
I know we're prophets now. Usually what we say out of our mouths do happen, but we need him right now in Philly. That's where we need him right here. But we want to continue this because it's been some very good conversation. We got someone on the line that's one to call in and tap into asking our councilman some questions. And are you how would I'm pronouncing that properly on the line?
Hello.
Yes, I'm how to pronounce your name. I guess I pronounced it wrong.
Hey, my name is Doug. How are you?
Doug. Well, I think our producer don't know how to spell. He got your name.
Oh,
listed.
That's okay.
So don't hold that against me. But Doug, what can you add to this conversation?
Hey, my name is Doug, SITTEL. I have a YouTube channel.
Okay.
I had to record some judges that I was working with. They told me before that they had to fly to them extra to countries like Brazil to arrest me and put me in jail with no trial before anyone heard the tapes. And that stems from some judges that I was working with in Passaic County, New Jersey.
So do you have a question for the councilman?
Yeah, I recorded these guys saying that they were going to hold me without trial, and I'm being held after I recorded them admitting that they were going to do this to me on my YouTube. And I went back to New Jersey and tried to get the audio transcripts of the judge talk about bribes, and you can hear the recordings of them that say, well, we erased those parts off.
We certainly appreciate the call. We're out of time. We thank you for your call. We do have the councilman here waiting to further discussion on education. Our topic today is education.
Yeah. Education and councilman, you know, we want to shift off education and say this last thing piece about it. We want to go into you because, you know, I think, you know, to watch your career and how you've actually have your heart starting from humble beginnings and even to where you are now. I mean, number one, you're a man of faith, you know, and the fact is that, as we know, when you have been favored by God, that doesn't come without opposition. It doesn't come without persons who would try to do something to scar or to create problems. But you have made your way, and it's for a purpose and for a reason. So do this. Give us that final piece on the education, and then we're going to shift the conversation in the sense of how your path and then your vision for Philadelphia.
Well, just wrapping up on the issue of education, I mean, obviously it's a civil rights issue of the day. And as a city, we have to really take a hard look at our whole structure and how we're going about not only supporting our education system, but most importantly, how our young people are being treated in our schools and how they're receiving a quality education. And looking at best practices of all different school systems that are out there and how we can make best make our current system here in the city of Philadelphia.
And so we're going to continue this conversation, it looks like. And so as a councilman, you guys are the ones who approved the budget of the school district. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so what kind of pressure can the citizens bring to bear to force some change in the system? And I'm talking even more than parents being involved, even though that's a critical piece. It's going to take more than just parents being involved in order to make a significant change in this system.
Yes.
So maybe you can give some pointers in terms of how and I'm sure that's part of how you came up and how you even became state representative and city council person, becoming active and being active and engaged
public policy formation.
Yes. Well, I would make sure that first and foremost, the state, our state legislators are a part of this conversation, because the School Reform Commission pretty much is the oversight board for the school district of Philadelphia. A lot of people think that it's the school district, which is a part of the city of Philadelphia, but at the end of the day, we do appropriate a budget of funding, but our level of oversight beyond giving the school district money pretty much stops there.
Okay.
It's really primarily the SRC. Now, we have aggressively created an oversight committee before, but at the end of the day, the SRC has the last final say on all policies as relates to the school district of Philadelphia.
And that's been controversial because a lot of people are calling for the removal of the school reform commission.
Exactly.
It's been two administrations now.
Two administrations. With the possibility of it may, and I just read this yesterday, I mean, there are some strong possibilities that they may really dissolve itself.
Okay.
Right? I know Joyce Wilkerson said she wanted to keep the conversation going as we move forward. The mayor made a commitment to dissolve the SRC as a part of his platform
and
running for mayor. And
those
are some things that I expect as we move forward to continue to be a topic of discussion as relates to the school district of Philadelphia. Now, one of the things that we have to take a look at when we receive local control is that, again, it comes down to the issue of funding. In the long run, when you look at some of the policy things and changes that we want to make when you talk about the school district of Philadelphia. But nevertheless, the more oversight that we have on the school district, the more we can have an impact on the curriculum, demand the type of like classes that are taught. But my biggest thing is really creating that culture of achievement, figuring that part out. Like, let me give you a classic example. I'm a graduate of Mansfield University, graduate of University of Pennsylvania. I grew up in Point Breeze, South Philadelphia all my life. I'm a first-generation college graduate. I never knew anything about going to school. I mean, my pop is a laborer. Mom was a stay-at-home mom, take care of my dad. So for me, being introduced to college, I didn't know until I got into high school. But you have certain schools these days, like Mastery Charter School, you can walk the door and you'll see University of Penn, Grambling, Howard, So as a kid from the neighborhood, as soon as you walk in the school environment, you already have the seed planted in your mind that you can go beyond your neighborhood, your block to attend some of these schools. That's not being done in the school district of Philadelphia, and that doesn't even cost money.
It's
free.
They don't even push it.
But that's that culture of achievement. When you want to get your driver's license, I tried to do this when I first became a state rep. If you go out to Lower Marion, those young people, they take courses on getting their driver's license.
In school. That's
I
tried to do it for the district. They start talking about, well, I was a new state rep. Well, that bill was going to have a price tag on it. And you can do it in Lower Marion,
Calls in South Carolina.
It is Pennsylvania, right?
I took driver's ed in South Carolina. We didn't have a car at the house. My grandmother raised us, and the first time they would drive a car was a simulator. I was in the simulator. I could have probably wrecked and probably got a few tickets, but I got in a brand new Buick Skylark because it was offered at the high school. I drove a brand new car and learned how to drive with no car. But then the technical schools, VOTEC. It was a known school. It doesn't exist anymore.
I went to Bach.
And you got laborers Bach. You got laborers and others who are in our communities right now benefited from those schools. And those are the options that we give our young people.
And not only that, clearly public education did work.
Yes.
Right? You've got a councilman sitting here.
Yes.
You've got a civic leader here who's a senior pastor, right? Both of us graduated from I graduated with I have 3 degrees, right? Two from Villanova University, so a product of the public school system sitting right here. So it did work, It ain't working now though. And so speaking of driving, what has driven you to become a part of the this whole public service industry, if you would, and politics?
Well, And I'm on a faith based radio station, so I can talk a little bit. I didn't add that component about who I am and what drives me. First of all, growing up in a Christian household, you always have a sense of giving. You're just helping others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember being a buddy for Special Olympics when I was a kid growing mm-hmm. up. My grandmother raised foster children when I was growing up. So we always had that sense of giving and helping others. Mm-hmm. As I got older, never had an interest in politics, didn't know too much about it.
Right.
Remember Lucian Blackwell coming, walking through the neighborhood mm-hmm. Early on as a young man. But I remember getting in trouble when I was on juvenile probation.
Mm-hmm.
Had a judge by the name of Judge Abrams Reynolds.
Frank Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Reynolds.
Family court. And had me on probation.
He's still
for a
there?
While. Yeah, he's still there. Yeah, matter of fact, I just gave him a citation to city council.
Right.
Frank's still there.
So after being on probation, I said, well, you know what? I want to go to school to become a probation officer and change my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And if another young man is on probation, I want to encourage him that he can go on and change his life. And don't let being on probation stop you
mm-hmm.
from following your dreams. And then I wound up applying to Mansfield University. Went to Mansfield, and when I was at Mansfield, became chair of the Committee on Finance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was responsible for all the student activity funding that would come in mm-hmm. and start learning that, wait a minute, being at the table is a little different than
that's right.
this other role being right. a probation officer.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point forward, start getting involved and volunteering for various campaigns. Met Hardy Williams.
All right.
He took me under his wing, start, teaching me the art of organizing. And mm-hmm. then I worked for his son, Anthony Hardy Williams, for about 6 years before mm-hmm. I decided to run for state rep. Did that for 3.5 years and decided to run for city council.
Right.
Where I can come back home. But what drives me at the end of the day is I love helping people.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Could have took my degree and moved.
Right,
could've
right.
Could have just said, you know what, I'm not going back to South Philly.
Mm.
When I went to college, my friends was being murdered.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was like an incentive,
right.
encouragement for me to get out the neighborhood.
Right.
And if you know what Mansfield is, that's like
that's right. boondock.
8 hours upstate Pennsylvania.
They call it the boondocks.
Yes, near New York.
Right.
Right. And so from there, I said, you know what? I got a commitment. I have a responsibility to take my right. degree and go back home and help others.
Right, right, right. And I think that public life is almost like the call to preach, the call to pastor. Neither one of us, and I don't speak for Pastor Steve, but we didn't choose this life. This wasn't. I had some, and I say this, I'm gonna move on because I don't want to belabor this. But there were some older ladies in South Carolina, in my home church, a very mm-hmm. historical church, and I had to grow up out of home. A lot of preachers in my family, a lot of pastors, and they would always, "Oh, baby, you gonna be a preacher?" I'm a little kid. I'm saying, "No, I don't want to be no preacher. I don't want to preach. I don't want to be a pastor. You know, I want to do something else with my life." But when you're called and when there's a purpose for you, no matter what you're doing, you will find yourself within that context. And so I think that it's a calling, and some do take it up as preaching. We do have some people that take up preaching. Right. That take up preaching, and there are some who are called, and then you have some politicians that take up politics, yeah. and then you have those who are actually purposed for that, as well as school teachers, as any other person in any part yes. of life. And I think that is a wonderful thing to see that you heard the voice, and now what you're doing with your life, it's purposeful.
And I love it. I mean, for me, the work that I do is not even doing work.
Mm.
It's just getting a chance to get up every day and do something that I enjoy. And that makes things a little easier in terms of helping people.
We have a call on the line. Sure. Alice, welcome to the Hour of Power. You have a question for the councilman. Alice?
Yes.
You have a question for the councilman?
No, I don't have a question for him. I just wanted to make a comment. I don't have a question for him.
Okay. Make the comment.
My comment is that I remember when Kenyatta Johnson used to come to all of our meetings down here in Point Reyes Avenue. He came to the Business Association meeting. He was part of the coalition, and he always was focused.
How you doing, Ms. Alice? Gabbardine?
I have a question for him. I just want to make a comment. I don't have a question for him.
Okay.
Yes, Ms. Allison. And, you know, it's good to know that people in the community are taking witness because, you know, you are able to call the show today and actually, you know, comment. And this is your councilman. And what you're saying is he's not sitting in the back room hiding himself. He's actually going into the community and meeting with people like yourself.
Hello?
You still there, Alice?
I'm listening to them, but he asked me a question. I didn't get a chance to answer because I'm talking to you.
Okay, you have to turn your radio down, man.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh,
you got all your technology working. All right. So we're saying is that, you know, you've recognized the fact you're a councilman who actually is there engaging you in the community. And so I think it's a wonderful thing for you to even call to even acknowledge that.
Okay,
you have to turn your radio
down. Okay, now let me get... Now, can I talk now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can I speak now? Can you hear me?
Yes, you can speak.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Yes, I want to say about Councilman Kenyatta Johnson. I've been knowing him since he was a young man. He always had manners. I want to say, I know he's running, you know, everybody can see he's good now, but he started out listening to what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about the gangs and the violence. He had a meeting going on Grace Ferry Avenue. In Grace Ferry, we met from over here in Point Breeze to talk about that, and he had some people had gotten their committees and supposed to be working with it, but some of the people didn't stick to what they were supposed to do.
Okay.
He was on task and what he had to do. So I just want to give him kudos while he's
Wonderful.
On the air.
Thank you, Miss Alice.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for
Thanks
your call.
For calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye. So, Councilman, how would you... advise some other young men who may have a desire to come out of their situation and join the ranks in public service or in some other field in pastoring or law or, you know, something like that.
Yes.
Because they need to understand that they can come out.
They can come out. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Well, first, I encourage young people to become the change that they want to see.
Yeah.
Right? I started a program called Peace Not Guns in 1998. Cousin of mine was murdered, mm-hmm. 17 with Dixon yeah. in the schoolyard. And I knew the retaliation wasn't going to bring them back to life. Mm-hmm. I knew that. So I took all that hurt and pain and did a rally.
Right.
Myself, another young guy, Reverend Anthony Stevenson.
Oh, yeah.
And he had lost two brothers to gun
right,
violence.
Right.
So we start organizing and started my program, Peace Not Guns. And it showed me that I could take all the pain and hurt and create something positive through his death inside my neighborhood. And so I always encourage young people that find something that you're passionate about addressing in this world and
That's
then
right.
begin starting the process
mm-hmm.
on finding ways to fix that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, oh, you need a nonprofit. No, you don't. Just write your vision down on paper
right.
and just get started.
Right,
right,
right.
And the other component is, particularly when you talk about politics, I mean a lot of young men, oh, I see what you're doing. I want to run for office. And I always talk to them about, listen, figure out a way to engage in some service,
mm-hmm.
right, at least before you put yourself out there. Because
right.
I think my uniqueness, and I say this humbly, is that before I wanted to run for office, a lot of people were encouraging me and asking me based upon the work I was already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was holding the meetings at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
When somebody was being murdered, I was getting a phone call saying, can you come and do a prayer vigil? And can you come talk to the mom of a young person that was murdered? So any profession that a young person wants to go into, you have to sow some seeds of good work.
That's right.
In order to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish in that particular field. But most importantly, just believe in yourself.
That's
I
it.
I mean, family will tell you you can't accomplish your goals and your dreams. So-called close friends will say, oh, man, you can't do that. You have to believe in yourself and let nothing stop you and make no excuses in following your goals and your dreams, regardless if it's politics, being a teacher, or any other profession.
And I think one of the questions that we were asked when we were at Overbrook a couple of weeks ago, one of the young men asked, did you all know what you wanted to be early?
Mm.
And how long did it take you? Mm. In other words, what he was asking was, you know, when did you come to a knowledge of saying, I want to serve here? And the other point to his question was, how many times did you fail before you mm-hmm. made it? And one of the things that I want to encourage folk, and I want you to do the same, to pick up on this, is particularly young African-American males, mm-hmm. is that it is not easy, and it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. But if you keep your focus and keep the faith that you have in what it is you want to do, mm-hmm. you will, and I guarantee it, you will be sure. able to accomplish it as long as you don't give up and as long as you don't allow the streets to eat you up.
Sure. Yeah, that's, well, probably more than anything, that's a very critical issue. You mm-hmm. know, my program, Peace Not Guns, one of the key components that we teach is anti-street education.
Right.
Because you can lose yourself in those streets and never come back.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right.
At mm-hmm. all.
That's right.
Either penitentiary or the gravesite.
That's yeah, right. yeah. And I think the grave is never a place for a young person, particularly right. with life, as particularly dying from some gruesome and violent act. You know, we almost out of time, Councilman. We enjoyed having you. You are natural.
Come back and hang out with you guys.
Oh, we're gonna absolutely now bring very some fruitful. Bring some pizza and some fruit with you next
I
time.
Got you. I'll make sure.
Yeah, because I got one of our engineers. We have something going on for this game Sunday, and he's rooting for the Giants. He's in Philadelphia okay. rooting for the Giants. I don't understand.
He's in the other studio.
Eating his pizza next Monday. But good having you with us, Pastor
Thanks
Steve. You know, we enjoyed being with you today. Man, wonderful day. You're listening to the Hour of Power, and understand we love you. Thank you for listening to us today. We'll see you next Monday. Listen, we are out of time,
but not out of power.
Love you. See you next Monday.
I know that all things are working for my good.